son of a bitch. I'll write a prescription at any moment.
I could write a prescription right now to the VA.
Yeah, we're on the 10th of that.
This is always in my pocket, too.
Okay. So we left off last week in the middle of the sugya, and it's really a tricky call whether we're starting new sugya tonight or not. You'll tell me at the end of the shiur when you think we start a new sugya. Because the truth is there are really two sugyas that actually merge into one. Originally in yeshiva, and I said the shiurim in brachos is back already quite some time, so I broke it down into two sugyas, because it scares the boys when we're sitting in the same sugya for a whole week, a week, it's too long. But the emphasis, it's really one run rebbe sugya, so here we're kind of just going to fuse the two into one as well. So we left off last week, we were focusing on the sugya about the lechem asa v'kusach. The Gemara spoke about a certain type of a bread that is not going to be chayav in challah. The reason why the Gemara is talking about challah is because this obviously sets the stage for much of the discussion about the bracha of hamotzi. So the Gemara spoke about a certain type of a bread that is exempt from challah. There are different opinions that we show on what exactly it is, and depending on what it is, and then obviously why it's going to be part is going to be different. But we kept on coming back to this Mishnah Maseches Challah. Keeps on revolving around this very, very ambiguous Mishnah Maseches Challah that really sets the stage for everything we're going to talk about for today. So we're going to make reference to everything we spoke about this. We can then kind of move on into this, in a sense, the second half of this long sugya. So just to recap for a minute, there was a Mishnah in the first Bracha Maseches Challah that spoke about two different terms. Spoke about Isan, spoke about Sufkinin. So the word Isa conjures up an image of a very doughy, bready, matzah-ish type of a food. Sufkinin, like sufganil, more of a frying kind of a thing, a cooking kind of a thing, something of that nature. So the Mishnah had a very cryptic phrase. The Mishnah spoke about chiloso Isa v'sofa sufkinin min chayav v'simchala. And the question is, what exactly does that mean? So let's pick it up from the Tosus on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Beis. With those quotes that Mishnah gives us in a Talmud version, that really starts the entire sugya rolling for us. So it's the bottom Tosfos on left line, Lamed Zayin of the days. It's the fourth line of the Tosfos. Because the Amidim Maseches Challah, Kol Shet Chiloso Isa V'Sofa Sufkinin Chayavim V'Challah, V'Kol Shet Chiloso Sufkinin V'Sofa Isa Chayavim Nami V'Challah. So the Mishnah talks about two different cases. Either the beginning is Isa or the end is Isa. Either one is going to be Chayav. What in the world does that mean? So the Mishnah continues in the third case, it's chilas l'sufkin v'sof, but not l'sufkin pot v'nechal. So upasak ha-ben etam, ben etam explain what that Mishnah means. Im kein v'nivlish v'rishalish v'chilas l'isa v'varchen alein ha-motzi v'chayavim v'chala av api d'sofan sufkinin. So ben etam is referring to foods that are thick in nature. They're a thick, doughy kind of a food. But they are never, ever baked in an oven. They are either cooked in a pot of water or they are cooked in a pot of oil. That is the tchilaso isa v'sofa sufkin in the Mishnah. And that type of food will be chayev in challah. If we want to put a name on that for our purposes, we're going to leave out the donuts for that list. We spoke a lot about the donuts. We're going to leave them out for a moment. We're going to give some of the more traditional explanations. I would say the word a wonton, because that's pretty much what it is, but that's not so traditional unless you're a traditional Chinese. I said the traditional food that is usually, that the later person discussed, are the kreplach, which you think about kreplach to Eastern Europe, like a wonton to China. It's pretty much the same idea. You take a thick dough, and you either cook it in a pot of water, or you cook it in a vat of oil, and that is the chilos isa v'sofa sufkinin of the Bishop Chal, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So the Mishnah says chayav in challah, no question. And now Rabbeinu Tam said, these nivlish and rishalishes, which meet those criteria, not only are they chayv and chala, but Rabbeinu Tam said, mevarchen alein hamotzi, that you recite hamotzi on them as well. Why was that such a big jump? What's the difference between once you already committed the Mishnah to be saying that it's chayv and chala, why would you think the bracha is different? And we spoke a lot about this last week. Rabbeinu Tam continues. Umitchila yirotza lemer Rabbeinu Tam, that original Rabbeinu Tam used to say, the dafka chayav mechal, that these wontons, these kreplach, a chayav mechal, why? The mitzvah chala, but odan isa, because the mitzvah chala is when it's a dough, the chsiba risal seichem. V'hol shahoy mechila isa chayav mechal. So when it comes to the chayav chala, it doesn't matter whether it's baked in the oven or not. All that matters is it an isa Avamina Motzi Turin, Tashim Sufkinin. Whereas Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, Rabbi Natan used to think, you can't recite Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz because Lechem is defined by baking. This week's parasha, Afu Lach Mechem Betan Arecha. So Rabbi Natan in the old days, in his youth, used to say that Chiyav Chala, yes, Birch Hamotzi, no. And then either Rabbi Natan backed down or the Bali Tosis backed down and said it's not true that Lamaisa you recite Hamotzi on them as well. Why do you recite Hamotzi on them? Hamotzi is not a function of Isa. So the answer is that the word Lechem doesn't require an oven. The word Lechem can be defined either by an oven or by a thick dough. So again, Rabbi Natan said the Mishnah in Challah is for sure talking about these kreplach. No question about it, says Rabbi Natan. And no question, Michaim in Challah. Rabbi Natan is hemming and hawing, he's not sure, is the Chiyav Challah because of the Shem Isa, which wouldn't spill over to Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, or is the Chiyav Challah because of the Shem Lechem, which would carry over. So that's pretty much recap what we said last week. But now I want to pick up what Rabbi Natan's raya was. How did Rabbi Natan know so sure that you recite Hamotzi on these things? So comes to us in sense. The Leinirin, Dala El, K'tani, Notlon the Ochlon, Mevarach alein hamotzi gabi mincha, alfa bi da'ach shavim sufkidin shavinachas mitugonis b'shemen. So Tosus quotes an earlier braisa. Let's take a look at that braisa. It's on the same daf on the Zayin Rebbeis, where the braisa says the sign is right smack in the middle of the page. First words of the page are of Yosef. Where the braisa says the sanya. If a person is coming to Shalayim and bringing a korban mincha, we spoke a lot about that a couple of weeks ago. Why do you make shechiyanu? Either it's the first time you're bringing the korban, or you haven't, or you're at the new mishmar, or it's haven't brought it in a long time. Different reasons that the Rishon explained. But the second half of the price is what's important for us. Not only ochlon, the person takes the mincha, the kohen, he shows that eating a mincha. Kohen is coming to eat a mincha. Mevarech hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz. You recite hamotzi before you eat a korban mincha. Somehow, you know, we think the Beis HaMikdash, we don't think like of a brachas bee, you know, brachas booklets in the Beis HaMikdash. And then brachas in the Beis HaMikdash also. Brachas and then, and according to most, were instituted in the days of the beginning of Bayis Sheni. So you're living in the days of Bayis Sheni. So the kohen sitting down to eat lunch. He's sitting down to eat a korban mincha. So the Brai says to tell you what bracha to make. So the Brai says, you make hamotzi on it. So Frektai Zakasha, wait a second. Why do you recite hamotzi on a mincha? Let's look at a mincha through the eyes of Uchas brachas. How is a mincha prepared? Well, different minchas are prepared differently. So some minchas, say a mincha amachavas, or mincha amarcheshes. So it's a thick dough, all the minchas are thick doughs, but then it doesn't make it into an oven. It's fried in a pan, or it's a... with oil, or it's fried in a deeper pan, whatever. It's a mincha machos, mincha macheshes. So comes Tosfos and says, wait a second, why do you make a motzi on that? It never saw the inside of the oven. You see, from here, says Rabbi Natan, that seeing the inside of the oven is not kaveh from motzi. Exactly like the Mishnah says in Challah vis-a-vis the Chiyuv Challah. So what a raya for Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan, man, there's a whole theory here. He put together the Mishnah in Challah that says that b'lila ova shenis bashla is chayv and challah. Dug up the braisa in brachas of Zion about what bracha they make on eating of a mincha, and he said it's all the same things. These are all examples of tchilas and isa v'sofos sofkinun that adino kelechem gom bein luchas challah bein luchas hamotzi. So ad kan shittas Rabbeinu Tam. Are we convinced that this is an ironclad raya? We know for a fact that the Rishonim, who for sure don't buy into this raya, there's no question the Rishonim will disagree with this raya. I'll bring you raya from Rishonim. There are Rishonim who hold like Rabbeinu Tam vis-a-vis Challah and not vis-a-vis Hamotzi. Rabbeinu Yona says Rabbeinu Tam may be right. The Mishnah in Challah Taka says Rabbeinu Tam says Chilas Yisuf Sofa Sufkinun Yumafish Challah and Kreplach. Do you make Hamotzi and Kreplach? Says Rabbeinu Yona. No, you don't make Hamotzi and Kreplach. Yisuf is Lechem, it's not. So according to Rabbeinu Yona, how does he read that? How does he read the Braisa? The Braisa is the first, you make Hamotzi. The Odesh Lahakshos. There are Rishonim who forget about arguing with Rabbeinu Tam vis-a-vis Uchos Brachas. There are Rishonim who argue with Rabbeinu Tam even Uchos Challah. There are Rishonim who don't accept Rabbeinu Tam's version of the Mishnah Challah. What did the Mishnah say? Tchilaso Isa v'sofa sufkinin. What do those words mean? Tchilaso Isa v'sofa sufkinin. So whereas Rabbeinu Tam said it means that it was an Isa, even though when you prepared the Isa, you knew full well that you were planning on cooking it or frying it. You knew it's never going to go inside an oven. The Afa Bichein, it's Chayav and Challah. the Rosh, who was ready a couple of generations after Rabbeinu Tam, the Rosh Mishans, his Perush Mishnayis and Chala vehemently disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, and says the Rosh, not a chance, says the Rosh, if when you made that Isa, you knew full well that it's going to be cooked or fried, it's not Chayv and Chala. You want to know what the Mishnah means? Isa shechilasa Isa v'sofa sufkinin. Chilasa Isa means I made it as a thick dough, having in mind what? Planning on
bread.
On baking it. I wanted to make it into bread. And then, 10 minutes later, I said, you know what? Forget the bread. I'll make it into a jelly donut. Forget the bread. I'll make it into a wonton. I'll make it into a crepe. Lach. So that's al zeh nema chilasa Isa. It started out as a full-fledged Isa with kavanas lechem v'tanur. Even though it never made it to the tanner, at least then if refer, at least you wanted to bring it, you wanted to bring it to a tanner. Then only then it's chayav. But if mitchilas kavanosai was to cook it or to fry it, says the Rash, it was never chayav and chala in the first place. If it was never chayav and chala, then obviously you're never going to make a motzi on it. So according to the Rash, how do you read the pshat in the how do you read the menachah story? So why did the Brisa say make a motzi on the mincha? When they made menachas, when they baked menachas, when they fried menachas, I just killed the answer. When they fried menachas, so they knew full well what they were doing. They knew this was a mincha machavas, the minchas macheshes. So how would the Rash read this line? So Rabbeinu Tam read this brayse, because Rabbeinu Tam had a certain pshat mishnah chala, and because he extended the tamaytzi. Those Rishonim who denied Rabbeinu Tam's extension, like Rabbeinu, and those Rishonim who denied Rabbeinu Tam's initial statement of chala, for sure have to read the brayse differently. So the Rishonim give two options. How to read the brayse. So there are two potential dichuim of this brayse.
How do you kovea a bracha based on
kavan? I can ask you, how do you kovea chala? Being hilchas chala is a din d'araisa. A din d'araisa of chala depends on what you're planning. So that's an unbelievable cash, right? And your cash is also a cash. But I would love the araisa that it's chayv and chala depending on what the guy so what? That's a murder of chiddush going to the Rash. Right? It's a tremendous chiddush. I don't know. Some of the Tom couldn't buy into that, so he gave his other pshat in the Mishnah. So, knew any way to be doich of the rayas? So, let's take a look at the Brayas again. This whole grandiose rabbi Rabbeinu Tam, what the Brayas is saying? Hay amin amakim anachas bishalayim, yeh not al ochlan bevarach amoitzi. What does the Brayas not say? It doesn't say what kind of mincha it's talking about. There are loads of minachas. Not all menachas are machavas or macheshes. What's the other one? The chisak rib. Menachas mafei tanur. Thank you very much. Menachas mafei tanur. If it's baked in an oven, then obviously you make a motzi on it. It's almost funny why the Brayse has to even bother telling you that. It's like telling me you have to make a motzi on a challah roll. But comes other Rishonim and say, the Brayse is not even talking about Rabbeinu Tam's case. It's not even talking about chilas is sof esuf. It's talking about chilas is sof esuf. It's talking about mafei tanur. The Brayse doesn't say one with the other. What's the problem with that dichoy? It's a textual problem with the Brayse, with the dichoy. But it's a betzel lashon the Brayse. Haya, makriv, menachas. Menachas is habe mashva. I mean, it sounds like one menachas. If the Brayse meant to single out only minchas mafei tanur, it would have behooved the Tanur to say that. So others want to reject it in the Tanur and say that b'meh dvar mamurim, that we can discuss that something is tchilas isa v'sofa sufkinin, whether it's shirish nakina motzi, that's if there's a lot of water, a lot of oil in it. But the mincha, not so much oil in the mincha. Mincha's machmas for sure is not so much oil in the mincha. That is not so much oil in the mincha. Maybe everybody would agree that's almost like, that's like an oven. We spoke a little bit about this a couple of early sugars, about frying pans, or the frying pans like an oven, not like an oven. So if you don't put too much oil in it, maybe everyone would concede to the fact that we get a moti. So this brisa, although Rabbeinu Tam saw in this brisa as the end all, as the raya brewish and lechuva, there are for sure Rishon disagree. We know Rabbeinu Yehuda disagreed, we know the Rashi disagreed, and there are multiple ways to wiggle out of this brisa.
Wouldn't Rashi disagree also? Doesn't Rashi think you need the stun didn't count?
Oh, right. Rashi's part of the last week's show. Right. No, that was part of the Raya against the Rebbe. Right, very good, excellent.
And Rashi also says...
What did I say?
Machlas and
Machlas. Oh, Rashi says Machlas. Right, I didn't say Machlas. Right. So, Rabbi Sai, when all the dust settles, we have three different shittas in Rishonim with potential ramifications in terms of Uchus Chal as well as in terms of Uchus Brachas. So we had a board here. We drew out Rabbeinu Tam on one extreme. That bein for chala, bein for lechem, wontons, kreplach, are hamotzi and chiyav chal deraisa. You have on the other extreme, are the Rash who says that these things are for sure not Hamotzi, and not even Chayv Chala. Then you have Rabbi Yonah walking the tightrope, that may be Chala, yeah, but in terms of the Brachim. But now Rabbi Natan goes even one step further. Rabbi Natan says, according to my theory that I just told you, that the Krepuch and the Wontons are Chayv and Chala, and also you make Hamotzi on them, let's go on to some more foods. So it's three lines from the bottom of the Tosfos, on the Zayin Beis, the bottom Tosfos. V'rimshash. Now, in case you want to know what in the word v'rimshash are, so what's the best way to look up, to find what something is? So you have to look up the Metargim. So the problem is that all the new Gemaras, they revamped what everything is, so your guess is as good as mine, where in the world the Metargim is. Do you have any idea? Yeah, the first one to find a Metargim is, I'll give you a free v'rimshash. I think faster than finding the Metargim, I'll tell you what it is. Okay? So, 99% of the time when the Metargim gives you a word in old German back from the 1500s, which usually is worthless. But then, every once in a while, that word means something to us. So this is a good one, because he says the word Lokshin. So the word Lokshin hasn't changed much in the last couple hundred years. So, our knowledge of Yiddish sometimes helps. I've told the story many times when I was in Berlin once in the airport, and I was trying to figure out how to get out, and I couldn't figure out what any of the signs meant. But then I saw a sign that said something that looked like the word Gegangen, so I figured that means to go out. I was right, it was the German word for exit. So anyway, so comes a bit of time and says, Lokshe, noodles, pasta. Rabbi Natan continues, Afal gav dechiyav mechala. So Rabbi Natan says, Avadi, you have to be mafish chala on them. Why? Why is it obvious that you have to be mafish chala on your noodles? Well, think about it. Shehayu isa v'tchila, because they started out as a thick dough, and how are noodles made? Then they're cooked in water. So says Rabbi Natan, good, that's the mission chala. Tchila sa isa v'safa sufkinin. So what should follow according to Rabbi Natan? We're heading for a disaster.
You
should make a moitzi, a new chumr. You're going to make a moitzi on a bowl of pasta. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, "Petur b'hamotz." He says, "No, you don't make a motz. Why? The leizlu Teresa de Nahama." Baruch Hashem. He says, "Why? Because even though it has everything going for it, and the basic yisoid of our entire sugi is that chal and hamotz are identical according to Rabbi Natan, but in one point, one factor, they part ways, and that is that mysterious phrase called tzuras apostle. We spoke a little bit about in the past." And don't feel bad if you don't know what it is, because most people don't know what it is, myself included. Tzuras habas means you have to look at it and say, this is a very bready kind of a food. So comes Rabbi Natan and says, that requirement of tzuras habas was only instituted vis-a-vis brachas. It's irrelevant in terms of challah. And therefore, although krepluch, because challah and hamotzi are identical, but in hilchos lokshin, they part ways. Chiyav challah, yes, and hamotzi, no. And therefore, the bracha we shown is mizonos, yechak abuchas ben shalosh al michvel kekola. And now Rabbi Natan tells us frozen for good luck. Rabbi Yechiel zal hoye mesupok im varm shesh chayav mechala. Rabbi Yechiel thought that maybe lokshin is part of mechala for a totally different reason. We should also isasa batze kedel lechal kaptur menechala is b'shiura. Hocha gabi ver meshnami pami mechala kan she emasim in shiachal b'der achas. There is a din, a quirk of a din, ruchas chala, that if you ose isoso l'chalek, if you make a dough, but the dough is not made as one big thing, it's made to be divided into multiple things, so then technically it's going to be pata from chala. So Rabbi Yechiel said that if you're making a dough for noodles, you're not even making all the noodles in one pot. So it could be that's called ose l'chalek. But he wasn't 100% sure, because maybe there is a shir chal in the same pot. So Rabbi Yechiel's pupilling almost with technicalities in Uchas Chala, but the Ikaron, noodles are chayav and chal. That's the famous Pesach of Rabbi Natan, that noodles, lokshin, are in fact chayav and chal. Again, this is all part of Rabbi Natan's theory, even though when it comes to Uchas Brachas, they part ways. Is one mechuyev to this Rabbi Natan? Must one come to the, if you follow Rabbi Natan's theory throughout the sugya, as long as it's a thick dough, no matter what your intent is, it's going to be chayv chala, just the time of the thick dough, must you conclude that it's chayv chala lokshin? So Rabbeinu Yonah take on Rabbeinu Tam in this one also. They say, no, not necessarily. It could be that Lakshin is part of a Chav for a different reason. You know why? Say the Tamir Rabbeinu Yonah. Because when it comes to Chalom, it's not enough that it has a din lechem. This is the idea that we saw this saw a little bit last week. It has to be a lechem that's made for, what's the magic word? Ohaya, ba'acholchem milechem aretz. It has to be for achila. Well, I'm going to eat the pasta. More than that. Here's a mamshah, brisket. It's not enough that it has a din lechem. It's not enough that it has a din achila. It has to have kashis one. It has to have achilas lechem. That means it has to be made for the purposes of eating b'teres lechem. And a bowl of pasta is not made for the purpose of eating lechem. It's not the staple of the meal. I guess, in our day, maybe it is. But lakshin, you have to be the lakshin kugel. Lakshin is not a challah roll. And therefore, Ben Yonah says, even though it has all the trappings of the Mishnah challah, and it should have really been chayav, and if not for that, almost like that quirk with Tirus HaPas, you probably should have made a motzi on lakshin, says Ben Yonah. But no, just forget about it. It's not royal achilas lechem, it's not maybe tesla lechem, but it's going to be potter. So how many, we have so many shilas flying all over the place. We don't know, we really needed a board for this one. We have almost like four different variables. We have two different kinds of foods and two different kinds of shilas. We have the foods of kreploch number one and lakshin number two. And then we have Uchaz Chal number one and Uchaz Brachas number two. So let's just walk it through quickly and see, again, slowly, walk it through what the din is in all these cases. So let's take, we'll talk about Kreploch first. So Chazer for a second. Kreploch or the Chayv and Chal or not? What does it depend on? Rabbeinu Tam and the Rash. It's a straight out Mishnah Chal. If you learn Shalai Rabbeinu Tam, Chilasa Isa means if it was made of the thick dough, Chayv Chal kicks in, doesn't matter what your intent is. So Kreploch, a Chayv and a Torah and Chal. According to the Rash, Hoyev Ramayon. With the Rashi Potter, because Chilasa Isa doesn't mean that. Chilasa Isa means it was made to be made for bread, and then you change your mind at the last minute. So again, so box number one. Chiyub Chal and Kreploch, Rabbeinu Tam, yes. The Rashi, no. What bracha do you make on Kreploch? So according to the Rashi, it's a non-starter. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, so we have a machlekes within Rabbeinu Tam Shita. You have Rabbeinu Tam personally, and Tosis personally held, based on the Brice about Mincha, that you make a moti on it. But Rabbeinu Yonah said, no, Challah, yeah, but not a moti, because a moti is its own world. A moti means lechem means taner, etc. So you have Kreploch, Challah, Rabbeinu Tam Rash, Kreploch, Brachas, Rabbeinu Tam versus Rabbeinu Yonah with the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Now we'll move on to the Lakshin story. So Lakshin, Challah. As Lakshin, Chayv, and Challah, according to who, is it a moot question? Obviously, according to the Rash, there's nothing to discuss. According to the Rash, not even a Shaila, in Kreploch is Potter. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Lakshin is Chayav in Chala. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not. What about the Bracha on Lakshin? We haven't found anybody who says you make a Motzi. Nobody that we have seen. Rabbeinu Tam conceded to that. So four boxes. Kreploch Chala, Kreploch Bracha, Lakshin Chala, Lakshin Bracha. Okay? Now, Lamaisa, how does any of this play out? So we have so many different factors to paskin. We have the first paskin, Rabbeinu Tam Rash Shaila. Then we have to paskin the Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Tam Shaila. Then we have to go back and see, is Lakshin different? So many different Shaila to paskin. So the most basic Shaila to paskin is Rabbeinu Tam Rash. How do we paskin that Shaila? Chiv Chala and Kreplochanat. Chiv Chala and Wantan Zanat. What's the din? So in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridenuch is Chala, Rabbeinu Tam Shit is not quoted. Shulchan Aruch does not make mention of Rabbeinu Tam. Shulchan Aruch quotes straight out the Rash. The Rash was agreed upon by the Rosh also. Shouldn't be confused the two, but the Rosh accepts the Rash, and Shulchan Aruch passes him straight and finished. End of discussion. It's not until the Shach comes along with Chuschal and says, "You know, it's true that it's true that Rabbeinu Tam was probably a Das Yochid, and his whole reading of the Mishnah was probably a Das Yochid, but Rabbeinu Tam is the Rabbeinu Tam, Kedayu Lachmir." And therefore, you really should be mafrish chala on kreploch, says the Shach, but without a what, obviously, without a bracha. It's only the Torah's chumrah. You don't have to recite a bracha. Just the throwback to what we mentioned last week. What's the modern day equivalent of the kreploch and the wontons? Donuts are mamish. That is a donut. Donuts are a thick donut. I don't ever see the making of a donut. Donuts are a thick donut thrown into a big vat of oil. Cooking in a lot of oil is like cooking in water. So according to the strict Shulchan Aruch, who follows the Shita Sarash, it comes out that there's no chiyuv whatsoever to be mafish challah on donuts. According to the Shach, yafish b'loy bracha. Is that what we do? Is that the Olam? Olam's night that way? Not so simple. So it would appear, I have to check the bakeries, but my sense is that there are other poskim who say that the Shach who said we should be chayshish from him, Tom, one could argue that's when you're dealing with the real bona fide chiyav chala d'araisa, the real makor. The Zman HaZen, especially in Chutz Laretz, Chalas Chutz Laretz is very known, is very, very common. It's only that the Rabban altogether. Really, Chalas should have been a mitzvah to the Baretz. We shouldn't be Mavish Chal altogether in Chutz Laretz. Chazal made a special takkan to be Mavish Chal in Chutz Laretz because people are going to get confused. Because most people don't realize that Chalas mitzvah to the Baretz because you don't separate it on the farm, you separate it in the kitchen. People think Chalas like kashrus. They don't realize it really has to do with the farm because it comes from the grain. So in order to avoid confusion, Chazal made a takkan, you have to be Mavish Chal in the Rabban Chutz Laretz. We were very, very makel in Chalas Chutz Laretz. We have so many cools in Chalas Chutz Laretz. So maybe one could argue that Chalas Chutz Laretz is just so lenient to begin with to insist on being mafresh on something which is rubid Rishon Bob's potter anyway. Maybe the minig is lahakil. Again, the Shach personally was mafresh chal on his jelly donuts, if he ate them, on his kreplach, whatever he ate. But whether people today do it, I can't say if certain. So don't feel bad if you're eating donuts coming from Dunkin' Donuts. Don't feel bad because they're goyish donuts anyway. So as long as the dough was owned by a goy at the time of the making the east, as Nicky Bell, if you're eating the Hamish donuts, so then have to double check what the minute is. That is a really good. As I'm talking, I'm trying to remember whether we have. I'm trying to think whether what our policy is on making donuts. I'm not sure that we. I'm trying to think which places actually make their own donuts even by us.
Butterflakes.
Right, Butterflakes probably. Right, Butterflakes makes their own donuts. I have to double check what our policy is. I don't think that we're mafresh challah on the donuts, but I'm not 100% sure. I have to find that. I think that the Olam is maple. I think that most of the bakeries don't, but we'll double check on that. I know when we redid the challah policy, when we revamped some of the challah details years ago, so we spoke about this, and I don't remember what the Wisconsin was. Sitting there, I was about to make the policy, I should remember that better. So I remember. Okay, fine. Okay, we'll come back. So those who are relying on the Rosh all these years, you can still rely on those who are relying on the Rosh. Okay, back to this story. But I'll tell you the flip side of the Shiloh before we get back to the Rosh of Beretam. There is a whole nother half of everything that we're talking about. And what if you have almost the opposite? Then you started out not as a dough, you started out as a batter, and then you bake the batter. You know what we call that?
Cake.
You have to be mafresh chala on that. It's the mafresh exact opposite of Rabbi Natan. So remember the Mishnah chala said that kosher chilasa isa v'sofa sufkanin, and then the Mishnah says kosher chilasa sufkanin v'sofa isa. So Rabbi Natan says that's a no-brainer. Of course, you have to be mafresh chala on cakes. And guess what? Even the Rashi used to that. Even the Rashi holds that you have to be mafresh chala on cakes because it's chilasa sufkanin v'sofa isa. Even the Rashi used to it. There's one day in Rishayim. There's a Ramban. Seems to disagree, that says you don't have to mafresh challah on cakes. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramban is not even quoted. Not even quoted as the Yesh Ermim. Shulchan Aruch says, Befeir, we should make a sponge cake, honey cake, etc. Any batter kind of, if it's big enough, in our own homes, unlikely you can make such a big, big cake. It's going to be the Shia, challah, 4/3 1/5 eggs worth. It's crazy. But in bakeries, so according to the strict reading in Shulchan Aruch, according to Ruben Rishonim, you have to mafresh challah on cakes. However, on this, to be honest, that many bakeries had the practice, and some bakeries still have the practice, that they were not mafresh challah on cakes. Why not? So there was some poskim who said that we could rely on the Ramban. Very strange thing, even though the Ramban is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. Again, the old story is Chas Chutz Laretz, very make it enough. There were poskim who will make it like the Ramban. They quote Reb Chaim held Me'ikra, didn't like the Ramban. He said the Ramban is really good, right? Even on Shulchan Aruch, it's not quoted. And there were minhagim, there was minig in Europe that many people would be lenient. They were not mafresh challah on the cakes. And that minig carried over to America as well. So that we don't rely on. And our bakeries, we try not to rely on that. We don't rely on that. We are mafresh challah on the cakes. That's much more common than the donuts. The donuts, according to Shulchan Aruch, is really potter. But the cakes are actually really chayim.
Metzuras apas.
That's called cakes, we assume that's called the Tzuras HaBas. It doesn't have to look mamash like a challah roll. That's a lakshin of that Tzuras HaBas. Little tiny slivers of things, that's Tzuras HaBas. But a big, fat, big thing of cake is like a big, fat loaf of bread. It's also considered to be like Tzuras HaBas. So I remember years ago, there were many bakeries, there probably Brachas now also that follow the old minig in Europe. There said they're not mafresh the chala on chala cakes. So I remember years ago Rabbi Willard told us that whenever he would buy cakes from some of these places that he was suspect whether they were mafresh chala or not. So when chala's chutzlar, it's the famous kula, oicha v'chayim mafresh. You're allowed to eat first and then worry about the fresh chala later. So he would always eat the cake, and then right before he threw out the box, there was a couple of crumbs left in the bottom. And you don't even have to say it, you have to have in mind, there's a challah, this is challah, good enough. So he was eicha b'chayka mafresh. So he would always have that in the back of his mind. So the question is whether you have to do that on the donuts also. So if you really believe that donuts have to be a chayav, and you assume the baker's not be mafresh, you have to hope that's not the donuts also. Thank you, this, I think I better close the certain things. How do I press hold on this? See what happens. Okay. Anyway, get back to our story. So when it comes to the Freshes Chala, we don't really follow this river bin topic. Maybe chumra, maybe the suffix without a brach according to Shabbat, but mikra do we not follow it? If we don't follow it in the Freshes Chala, then it becomes a moot discussion in
Brachas.
So what's the shayla? So then if you have a wonton, so what's the shayla? You have a kreplach, you have a donut, what's the shayla? Avadi make mezonis. Even if it's chali, you don't have to. So that's almost what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Almost. Except, strangely enough, in Aruch Chaim, Nuchas Brachas, and let's not forget, it's the same Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't even bother quoting it in Nuchas Chalim in the day. In Nuchas Brachas, the Shulchan Aruch throws a line at it and it says, Yirei Shamayim should be machmir, and he shouldn't eat these wonton/kreplach stam. He should only eat it in the middle of a meal after you're already washed in regular bread. Why? Because in deference to Rabbeinu Tam, since according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to wash on these things, you have to wash with the Mitzvah bench on it. And we would never ever dream of doing that because Rubb the Rishonim hold like the Rash. But as a Yirei Shamayim, the right thing to do would be to be machmir and not to eat it separately, not to get involved in any kind of the suffix brachas. So I stayed in Shulchan Aruch. Now, according to that law in Shulchan Aruch for the Yirei Shamayim, who's going to stay away from the wontons and the kreplach, that could pose a problem for us. Because what else might we want to have to stay away from according to that Yirei Shamayim? The donuts. That doesn't bode well for Klai Yisrael, right? That the donuts are the same shayla. It's also, it's a vayt, it's a blivel alvash, and it's bashla, and it's nitkan b'yishemen. So l'chora, if you want to be really frum, you want to be Yirei Shamayim, then you have new chumra. You don't eat Dunkin' Donuts in the middle of it. You're ready for a baby. It doesn't bode well for the weight also in the mornings. So that would be an interesting chumra. So here the person say, no, it's not necessary. Why? Because even Zion did it right. Even if you believe in Rabbeinu Tam, guess what? A donut would not require hamotzi, even according to Rabbeinu Tam. Manish down a donut from the kreplach, from the wontons. Very simple. Take something that's real bread. If you think about it, real lahi bread. It's an isa shenefa, an absolute bread l'choladeus. To give an example, you know what it's called? It's called a chocolate chip cookie. You have, it's an isa, it's a thick dough, it's a cookie dough that was baked. L'choladeus, it's bread. So how come I don't make a motzi on it? So that's what the Gemara says later on in case of Mavarchin. There's a subcategory of bread. Something can halachically be bread and still sneak out of hamayitzi and benching. If it's what? If it's pas, habobikis. Now, I don't want to ruin that sugya for a later date, but we're going to quote what many poskim say, is that the definition of pas habobikisnin is something that although it has all the trimmings of bread, it has the stage of isa tzatik dough, and it has the stage of a fiat made inside the oven, it has nothing that mafkir the shame pas from it, except for the fact that it's eaten primarily as a snack, not as a meal. And therefore, if you take a keveh sudan, if you eat a lot of it, whatever that means, another sugya for now, then you take a wood make a motzi on it, but close mind, you just had a small amount of it, then the bracha is mizonos because of a quirk of possible kista. So the poskim can breathe a sigh of relief now. Why? Donuts, 100%, according to the Rosh, you can eat 1,000 donuts and not have to worry about making a motzi on it, because it's not possible altogether, because we don't hold a rabbinic tam. But even the Yirei Shemayim, one of the chayshas for rabbinic tam, and would refrain from eating a kreplach or wonton. Those are much more meal foods. Kreplach, I mean, it's part of the meal. Wontons can be whole meal, but a donut, everybody agrees, is not made primarily for meal, even though that's your breakfast, that's not really a meal. That's because in America, people don't eat breakfast, but you wouldn't sit down and you wouldn't come home, I shouldn't say this, a normal person wouldn't come home and sit down and ask you, so tell me, what's for dinner tonight? You say, oh, two donuts are for dinner. The kids would be happy to hear that, but most of us probably wouldn't be too happy. I guess depending on your age, you probably wouldn't be too happy about that. So, we're okay with Yirei Shemayim. Even the great, if we want to be great, Yirei Shemayim, we can still make mezonos and donuts, we're good to go. But Rabbi Sai, there's one last akuda that emanates from this part of the sugya, and this could be an end and a game changer for us, particularly in terms of the donuts. Because of this machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Rash, and because of the fact that we probably don't really accept Rabbeinu Tam, proof positive, it didn't even make it to the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Bracha said, Pekoshi made it as the Yirei Shemayim. So fundamentally, Rabbeinu Tam is not really accepted in the halacha. This is going to impact the donuts so significantly that, forget about what Bracha make of donuts, I'm not even sure if you need donuts in the first place, because I'm not even sure they're kosher. Why do I think they're not kosher? I'll tell you why, then they may not be kosher. What? So there is a reason why donuts are very, very potentially problematic in halacha, and I'll tell you why. The Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, at the end of the seventh parak, tells us that there are two kinds of foods that Chazal prohibited, according to Moshe Shon, for the same reason, Mishum Chastas, to prevent intermarriage. One was Bishalakam, and one was Pasakam. Bishalakam are Nanja cooks your chicken, cooks your potatoes, cooks your eggs, fish, that's a bishalachim. Pasachim means he bakes your bread. That's also pasachim bishalachim. The Mishnah presents them as being identical in terms of severity of Isser. And the Isser applies to the other boy, when the Mishnah appeared. Pasachim bishalachim is all the same. Comes the Gemara, and then particularly more the Rishalmi, and then the Rishonim, and start to say, wait a second, if you look in between the lines, it would appear that Chazal were a little bit more makil on Pasachim than they were in Bishalachim. Why? Well, what's the difference? If they're both to prevent the same problem, why is one more calm than the other? Very simple. Rishim Chai Nefesh, Yerushalmi says. Because you could survive without any given piece of cooked food. You could survive without chicken, but very hard to survive without bread. Alechem v'ad yichayot, the apostle says the other way, lo alechem v'ad, but we know you need bread. So therefore, Chazal built in certain kulas into the takana. So the Mishnah presented as being osur, but then the Bavli has a little bit, and the Nushal has a little bit more, etc., etc. And this whole notion develops, of course, paspalter. Paspalter means it's a professional baker, and the logic to be more lenient is, I'm afraid I'm going to marry somebody. That's it's a social kind of relationship. If it's a business relationship, even though I know the baker, I've been working baker for 20 years, but it's a different kind of a setup, of kind of a potential relationship, and therefore there's much less of a fear of chastos. So that distinction between palta versus non-palta was only instituted by pas because of the need, the great need for pas. The bishlachom chazal did not make any distinction whatsoever. So that's pretty much how we paskin the halacha lemaisa. In the beginning of Chelik Beis Yeradeya, we paskin the split that bishlachom is of course asur under all circumstances unless there's some kind of a kula bishlachom. Whereas Pasachim is only also if it's not Paspalter. Der Agad had this shot a few times already. Sometimes people have these great plans that they want to have, baking with their kids or something. Mother's at home, so the babysitter does some baking with the kids, and they bake chocolate chip cookies, and those chocolate chip cookies are trash. Because it's a big question. Is that really a palter? It's not a professional babysitter. It's not a professional baker. That's what's called paspala bias. And paspala bias is also. So you have to be careful about that. It's not a head to go. People think that bread, everything is okay. It's all pasa. Not so simple. So Rabbi Sai, pasa is basically mutter, it's paspalter. And bishul is also. There is a machlekes apelskim. When we say the paspalter is mutter, is a mutter, even if you can easily get pas shal Yisrael. Or not. So that's what there's some people who are quote unquote machpid and pasas roll. What that means is they won't rely on paspalter unless they're mamish stock. So that are the two opinions in the later post game. But again, most of us are making olgami. We'll go into the store, we'll buy Galatian bread as long as it has a shkach on it. There's no ingredient problems. You go into the store, you buy fry off his bread or something that's paspalter, it's pasachom, but it's paspalter and it's mutter. So Tosafot in the beginning of the second paragraph quotes in Machlekes about where do cookies and cakes fit into this picture. Are cookies and cakes closer to bread, or are they closer to cooked foods, closer to bishul? Huge nafkamina. If they're closer to the model of bread, so then they're subject to the kula of paspalt, even though you can live without shochet of cookies, but chazal will make us. But once it's called a lachli bread, it's mutter. If it's closer to meat and chicken and fish, then it would be awesome. So which one is it? So Tosis throws out this question. He says, well, how can you tell what's the litmus test, whether something is bread or not? What's the obvious answer? We'll indicate to the Baruchim, you make a motzi on it. What's the answer? Do you make a motzi on cookies?
No.
Mm-hmm. Depends. If you eat a lot of them, you really would. So one Dan tells says, well, you didn't eat a lot of them. You ate one or two of them. So therefore it's bishul. And the other Dan tells says, but since in theory you can eat a lot, so you see that halachically it's closer to the bottle of pas, and you can breathe a sigh of relief, it's called pas palter. So the Ramos make it like that. That's what Amidah gets. Everybody that I know who eats, if you eat Entenmann's cookies, if you got any Goyisha brand of cookies that are baked by Goyim, you are relying on this kula that our cookies and cakes are halachically the same as pas, and therefore pas palter would be permissible. So far, so good. So our cookies and cakes are good to go. Our breads are good to go. Our bishul is not so good to go. What saved the cookies and cakes? The bracha of hamotzi. Well, the theoretical bracha of hamotzi, we eat a lot of it. But basically, what do you think about donuts now? It does not bode well for donuts. You know why? If Rabbeinu Tam would have had the upper hand, if we would have passed like this Tosfos and Rachas Lama Zayin, that donuts are mamish hamotzi. I mean, if you eat enough of them, would be hamotzi. If you really believe the Chayav and Chal, you make motzi of them, then donuts would have been the same cool as cookies and cakes. But in Shulchan Aruch, we're passing a bit of time. We pass like the Rosh Hashanah, the Koshi, maybe a Chumrah, the Shachnet, but I'm sure we do that in our bakeries. Brachas, at best, the Yirei Shamayim, that's not the Yirei then. And now we're in a big pickle, because how could we ever walk into a Dunkin' Donuts and eat donuts? All the donuts should be treif. They're all
bishulachim.
Mamish bishulachim.
Can't you say it's not like roy for achila for like, you know, the shulchan of the
Bible? We'll get it. Okay. So one good way to solve the problem is to make sure that Drew is turning on all the machinery. That may not be happening, I don't know. But that's worst case scenario, that's not happening. So this question has been a big dilemma that's been raised in the modern world of kashrus. How can we ever sanction eating of any goyish established in the donuts? It should be an outright problem of Bishalachim, and the head of the Ramon, the Tois and Beitz, is not going to apply because we don't follow this or Rabbeinu Tam's story. So it's quoted from Rebelsky. And they asked him this question, the OU. So he said there's only one way to be Mahatir. Be Mahatir the donuts. You know, it's based on, like you said, it really is Bishalachim, but it happens to be a cool and Uchz Bishalachim, what's called Eina Ola Shulchan Malachim. If something is not so fancy, it wouldn't be served at a fancy king's, a royal meal. So it's not called bishalachim. So everybody said, who eats donuts? Two kinds of people eat donuts, besides the YU boys. Who else eats donuts? Policemen and?
President
of the United States. Truckers. Truckers always eat donuts. What's the countdown to the police and the truckers? They're easy to grab and on the run. So you don't usually see it in the chasana. Once in a while you may see it in a bar, okay, that is true, but you don't see it in the chasana, you usually don't see donuts at the... Now, it's true they do serve it in the White House on Hanukkah. You know, otherwise, they don't really serve it at a state dinner, they don't serve it. The only fancy dinner they serve it is on Hanukkah, that's what I was told. So, if that's the case, so according to the Svar Rebelsky, we can salvage donuts, not based on Rebbeinu Tam. We can salvage donuts based on Ola Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi said there's a gevalka kula that emanates from this. The kula of paspalta, we generally rely on all year long. We have a tradition ready for the days of the Gaonim not to rely on that kula during Sesame Shul. But Sesame Shul, we try to up the ante a little, try to be a little firmer. We don't want to, you know, rely on everything on kula. So the kula of paspalta is a very, very shaky kula. Sesame Shul, we have a minute not to rely on. The kula of Eina Ola Shulch Malachim is what? It's a Gemara, it's a kula. It's a Gemara, it's a Perish Gemara of an Azar. Nobody argues with that. And therefore, one can have the following chat, that donuts are mutter. Even during the Sesame Tshuva. What is not?
Cookies.
Cookies are also. Okay. So the cookies in the case, the entomins, l'chadchila, I think you should not have entomins during the Sesame Tshuva, but the Dunkin' Donuts you can have l'chadchila even during the Sesame Tshuva. The chaps in Afghanistan, some people on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a minig, many people told me, Mach, not to allow the kula paspalta on Shabbos. That's what we try in the shul as best as we can. I can't say that we've never slipped up. but we try to keep the Grosha cookies and pretzels and all those kinds of other assorted things, which are over-relying on the kulzah paspalt. We try to keep them out of the shulfa, these shops and yards, but we try again. Not always perfectly, but we try our best. But the lefiri is daiti that the donuts are okay. So if anyone wants to sponsor donuts, separate the shulfa, the ice cream kiddush, so we will accept the second and the five. By the third donuts that were bought on Friday for Monday, unless
what?
You can make them on that, you can make them on Yantif. Make donuts on Yantif.
If I pay in advance, can I pick them?
Can you pick out, you can't walk into the store on the
right, they don't differ.
The donuts is not delivering to our Torah on Saturday. So, maybe for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, not for us, but even that so fast. Okay, everybody say, so again, so this whole discussion, everything emanates from this Taisus. It all starts with this Gemara, it all starts with this Rebbe Netan. It all is part of Lech Ma'asa L'Kusach. You can begin to understand why I split the sugya into different parts. Last week was the Lech Ma'asa L'Kusach part. Today is going back, Chazar of the Rebbe Netam and the Rash, where everything ultimately revolved around. And this Rebbe Netam and the Rash set the stage for Shaz Ruch. Chal Shaz Ruch. Brachas and ultimately Shaz Ruch. Bishlach. Sakam is Bakir. Who else? Stop here.